Other people's boundaries have never been his thing. Hopefully, it doesn't take Brittany over a decade to figure that out like it did for me.
We'll talk about it later. I'll make sure Harlow calls you while we're gone. You look great, by the way. You finally lost those last 10 pounds.
He turns and strides back to the car, oblivious as usual to the grenade he tossed over his shoulder. The man genuinely believes he just paid me a compliment. They pull out of the driveway, my ex, my daughter, and the poor misguided girl who thinks she won. What she doesn't know is that it was never a contest between us. Nick didn't leave me for her. He left because I grew into something he couldn't handle. A woman with a mind of her own. I watch them drive away down the street, still shaken by the baby news. Then I shut the front door and lean against it with my eyes closed, willing my stomach to settle and my pulse to slow. After I'm grounded again, I head into the kitchen and clean up the breakfast dishes, then go around the house picking up Harlow's mess. I can tell what room she's been in by the trail of discarded clothing she leaves behind. Because I'm her mother and not her maid, I drop it all into a pile in the middle of her bed for her to sort through and put away or wash when she comes home. Just because I don't want my house to look like a bomb went off inside, it doesn't mean I'm going to bend myself into a pretzel doing chores she's perfectly capable of doing herself. While she's living under my roof, she's got responsibilities. Other than abuse or neglect, nothing ruins a child more than lenient parenting. Every weak, selfish adult grew up around people who failed to set rules. Full of possibilities, the weekend stretches out ahead of me. I've got a to-do list a mile long, but I need an outlet after the unsettling conversation with Nick, so I change into workout clothes and drive to the gym. It's full of attractive people half my age with twice my metabolism, some of them filming themselves on their phones as they exercise. I find an empty treadmill, drop my car keys and phone into the cup holder, and stick my earbuds in. I'm just about to get started when I notice the person beside me. He's good-looking in that outdoorsy Malibu surfer way. Tousled gold hair, bronzed skin, blue eyes, teeth so straight and white they could be veneers. Muscular in all the right places. He exudes health, confidence, and a certain kind of self-possession only enjoyed by those who've never had to worry about money their entire life and never will because of their family's massive wealth. Cardamom Cord. Hi there. He turns to me with a movie star grin.
Hi, Sophia. Fancy meeting you here. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. You?
I'm good.
I give him a polite smile, then turn back to the treadmill and punch the button to start a programmed workout. A gorgeous young woman in full hot girl summer mode walks by, checking out Carter as she passes. I'm not having a hot girl summer. I'm having a bog witch summer. Every gray hair I get, I'm celebrating, because it means I'm closer to being the swamp queen of my dreams. A frightening, feral thing living in a kingless wilderness with wild indulgence, bound to no one and nothing but my growing cat colony and my untamed soul. I should start practicing my hissing. I glance at the Adonis next to me, wondering if he lives in the neighborhood. I would have thought he lived behind gates in Bel Air with all the other billionaires, not down in funky Santa Monica near the beach. Then I see the expression on his face and forget about where he lives because his glower is so surprising. I follow his gaze. Across the gym against the wall of mirrors between the free weights and the squat rack is a boy of maybe 15 in a wheelchair. He's trying to get to the weights, but a trio of bodybuilders is blocking him. They're jaw-jacking and flexing competitively, giving each other friendly shoves and throwing fake punches, their loud laughs bouncing off the gym walls. The boy keeps trying to slip around them, but can't. They're an oblivious wall of muscle. After another few unsuccessful attempts to get closer to the rack of free weights, he gives up and turns his chair away, wheeling slowly toward the locker rooms with his head hanging low. I glance back at Carter, but he's no longer there. I pull out my earbuds in time to hear Carter call out.
Hey man, you need a lifting partner? I was just about to do some sets.
The boy stops and peers up at him doubtfully. His answer is low, lost under the hum of my treadmill. Whatever he says, Carter listens to intently, then nods. Then Carter swaggers up to the three muscle-bound jocks and slaps the biggest one on the back. When he spins around, bristling, Carter presents him with a dazzling grin. There's a split second where I think Carter is about to lose his front teeth. But then he starts talking and the three muscle men start smiling. And all of a sudden, everybody's best friends. Carter walks back to the boy in the wheelchair and escorts him over to the free weights. His three new amigos usher the boy into their circle. A serious conversation begins between the five of them with a lot of head nodding and chin stroking and thoughtful expressions. Then Carter points at the weights, and the bros jump into action. Everybody starts doing sets